Hey, you want that to go?
And it's time for some takeouts on stories we're following this week, and we'll start with a media takeout. Does this sound familiar?
You've got mail.
That's how many people experienced the internet for the first time back when he called it the information superhighway.
Thousands
America
of years ago.
Online dial-up going into your email
America's
box.
Got mail.
AOL started out as independent, mostly access. Then they merged with Time Warner, and now they will be on their own again. They're developing a new business model to go with their independent status. We have Johnny L. Roberts joining us, a media writer formerly of Newsweek and The Wall Street Journal. Good morning, Johnny.
Hi, how are you?
So what is AOL planning to do? They certainly won't be able to make their money off of dial-up anymore.
That's for sure, not in the age of broadband. Now it wants to be king of content. Content is king online now, so they want to bring you news, finance, anything you want, recipes, games.
How's that different from what Google does?
Well, it's not so much different from what Google does, except that you have to go to Google and search for it. Here they're going to try to organize it in directories to bring it to you directly. Everybody's into content.
And how are they going to market this?
They're going to start out with the base of they still have a substantial base, though it's rapidly declining, base of subscribers to those dial-up services. So that's the base that they're going to start with and then try to expand from there.
Are they leaving Time Warner better than they started with this merger?
Well, no. You mean leaving their parent company in better shape, or
yeah.
Are they in better shape?
Are they in better shape than when they first merged with Time Warner?
No, they aren't. They were the powerhouse of the internet when they merged with Time Warner.
And no longer. Johnny L. Roberts is the veteran media writer, formerly of Newsweek and Wall Street Journal. AOL will start trading as an independent company on the stock exchange tomorrow.
And we'll see how long they last. The Louise Story, New York Times finance reporter, joins us for our second takeout. It's kind of a consumer story. Securities and Exchange Commission has come down hard on a subprime mortgager. Explain.
So the SEC is charging New Century with fraud, three of its executives with fraud. And New Century, you may not have heard of them, but that name was huge on Wall Street back before the financial crisis. They were the second biggest subprime lender, and so it was their loans that these investment banks like to buy up and package into these subprime securities that have become such a problem.
And they're second to Countrywide, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the packagers, and it seems like New Century's innovation was they did it faster. They grabbed more and more mortgages.
They did. They also had a certain type of loan they were famous for, which you may have heard of. That's the 80-20 loan, you know, where you can get one loan for 80% of the house and another loan for 20% of the house. And so the cash down, you know, doesn't really exist or exists in a very small way.
It's like a bridge loan to nowhere.
Right. And that's right. And it was these loans that caused them problems. You know, they filed for bankruptcy in 2007. And the SEC case centers around their accounting for how much money they needed to put aside to pay to Wall Street for bad loans. And a lot of their bad loans were these 80-20 loans. And one of the interesting things in this case is it talks about these storm watches that the executives were getting every week. And throughout 2006, they were getting these storm watch, like reports on how bad the 80-20 loans were getting, but they were not telling investors. And that's why they're in trouble.
And meanwhile, they were trying to unload them and securitize them and get them out the door.
Get them
as
out
fast
the door,
possible.
Look good for their investors, but things were not good. And when they filed bankruptcy in 2007, it was a major quake in the timeline of this financial crisis. And that's when a lot of people on Wall Street knew the end was coming.
If these fraud charges stick, what does it mean for other bankers and other mortgagers in the market?
So the SEC said yesterday that this is just one of many cases they're looking into in the mortgage market, in the mortgage bundling. You know, they already charged Countrywide CEO here with New Century. They're trying to get back some of the bonuses they were paid. So if this is an indication of where they're going, you may see them going upstream into the mortgage packagers, which gets you to places like Lehman or Bear Stearns or even any investment banks that are still around. And so you should watch where the SEC goes to look for whether there was wrongdoing in recent years in the mortgage market.
And if this fraud goes, what do they call it? The too good to be true gate, possibly.
Too good to be true.
Louise Story, New York Times finance reporter.
Let's move on to sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So Ibrahim, the thing that was interesting about Monday Night Football was that most people weren't voting, rooting for a winner. Everyone wanted the Green Bay Packers to lose. They wanted them to lose to both. Isn't that right?
Well, last night was a game where it was a December football game with a lot of playoff implications. In both the AFC and NFC, teams were looking for either team to position themselves in the wild card playoff race. What ended up happening was that they racked up 310 yards of penalties en route to Green Bay's 27-14 win. It was the second most penalties in a football game in NFL history.
So what does this mean in terms of our playoffs hopes and our wild card teams?
Well, basically, it puts the Green Bay Packers solidly in the wild card picture. They have a wild card spot in the NFC. For the Baltimore Ravens, they are probably out of the picture. And then it makes the Steelers really happy, and it makes the New York Jets really happy.
Okay, so we got to move on to hockey here for just a second, because we need to point out a particular player who just is an unsung hero, right?
It's a big number. You know, when I look back and all the numbers of other goalies, it's like it's mind-boggling. But I see it as a team commitment throughout the years that I've been here in New Jersey.
That is New Jersey Devils goalie who got
Marty Brodeur.
103 shutouts. They beat the Buffalo Sabres with a shutout last night. This is an amazing record.
So he's Martin Brodeur recorded his first shutout in October of 1993.
Wow.
His father was a photographer for the Montreal Canadiens, so he grew up around a winning tradition. He could be one of the greatest goalies ever. And he's one of the most overlooked athletes in the world. He tied Terry Sawchuk with 103 shutouts. He's in his 16th year in the NHL. And another interesting fact about him, well, just to think about it, if he was a Ranger, and because of the Devils organization is so different, if he was a Ranger, there would literally already be a statue of him outside of the Madison
That's
Square
very
Garden.
True.
So he's led the Devils to 3 Stanley Cup championships, and while he's been on the team, he's only missed the playoffs once. He is a legend at the goalie for the Devils.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, what could get the healthcare debate sidetracked? Abortion. We're going to talk about where that stands in the Senate's reform bill in just a few minutes.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.